Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record.
And here it is. Brown's in the outside lane there, next to him, Williams, the American Negro.
That's commentary from the 1936 Summer Olympics in Berlin, Germany. Archie Williams, an African-American runner, competed in the 400-meter race. His biggest competitor was British athlete Arthur Godfrey Brown.
Williams is a beautiful mover. He's a Black Panther. He's not waiting. He's cutting loose. He's coming up on the back stretch. Very threatening. He's gaining. Hand over fist. Brown's going well, but he's leaving it too late. That Negro's dangerous.
Archie Williams won gold, running 400 meters in 46.5 seconds. He was one of 18 African-American athletes who were part of the U.S. Olympic team. Competing in track and field, boxing, and weightlifting, these athletes brought home 14 medals, a quarter of all medals won that year by the United States. However, the only athlete from that group whose name you likely know is Jesse Owens, who took home 4 gold medals. Joining me to discuss the 1936 Olympic Games is filmmaker Deborah Riley Draper. Her documentary, Olympic Pride, American Prejudice, will be shown a week from Sunday at the Reginald F. Lewis Museum in Baltimore. The film details the experiences of Black athletes at the Berlin Games, athletes who were considered superstars abroad and second-class citizens at home. Deborah Riley Draper, welcome to On the Record.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
Berlin was selected by the Olympic Committee in 1931 to host the 36 Summer Games. How did Berlin change over those 5 years?
Berlin changed dramatically. Between the time the IOC selected the city as the host of the Olympic Games to the day the Games started, there was a tremendous transformation. Adolf Hitler took power. He began to change the country, change the tone and manner of how the country engaged with Jewish people, gypsies, African Americans. He passed the Nuremberg Laws. So the level of tyranny increased 300-400%.
And given that, was there debate over whether the U.S. would even take part in the 1936 Summer Games?
Absolutely. The country was torn apart. There was huge debate around if we go to Germany, given the reports that are coming from this country, are we supporting tyranny? There were debates around, we can't let the politics of another country stop our athletes from participating in the Olympics. And there were people who just believed we should support Germany in their efforts to be a new country. So there were lots of different types of rhetoric, lots of different ways in on that argument. And it came down to a vote that was super close. And as we know, the country went.
How did Black and Jewish athletes feel about participating?
There was a conversation and a debate among those athletes. There were some Jewish athletes that wanted to participate to show up Hitler. There were some that would not set foot into Germany and compete. There were Black athletes that said, you know what, we need to pay attention to what's going on in this country and the level of lynching and discrimination that's happening here. And there were some that said, I want to get on that world stage so that I can show that I have earned the right to be a part of this country.
How did African-American media outlets react to the news that this group of Black athletes would attend the Games?
The Black press, they were excited. They actually sent reporters to cover this story. That's how big this story was within the Black community. You have 18 African-American athletes representing the United States in Nazi Germany. What bigger story could there have been for the Black press in 1936?
Were the Black athletes accepted by their white U.S. teammates?
Some yes, some no. It's, you know, the atmosphere on the boat was like the atmosphere in this country, except there was a lot more close-knit. I think that those athletes were a lot more forgiving, and certainly they had a tremendous amount of respect for the abilities of these tremendous student athletes who many maintained 4.0 averages, worked their way through schools, and won medals.
And once they got to Germany, what kind of reception did the Black athletes receive when they arrived at the Olympic Village?
You know, Germany was an interesting place at that point. It was chock full of propaganda, and the goal there was to make sure every athlete felt welcome and every athlete felt at home. And that's what those athletes felt. Some of it was genuine, some of it was propaganda, but they had freedoms and they had experiences in Nazi Germany that they didn't have in the U.S.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with filmmaker Deborah Riley Draper about Olympic Pride, American Prejudice, a documentary profiling the 18 African-American athletes who took part in the 1936 Olympic Games in Berlin. Some of these athletes had also been on the U.S. team for the 1932 Games in Los Angeles. The 1932 athletes included both of the African-American women who then went on to qualify for the 1936 track and field team, Tydee Pickett and Louise Stokes. Tell us a bit about them.
Well, they were young women. Louise Stokes was in high school. In 1932, they were both in high school. And in 36, Louise was still in high school. She was a senior at that point. These were young women who lived in Boston and Chicago, respectively, and they were heroes. Imagine, women at that time were not even considered athletes. You know, the men really didn't want women on the team, and these were Black female athletes. So there was double jeopardy for them in terms of competing and traveling and trying to get to competitions and trying to make this team. But they persevered beyond all of that and made two Olympic teams.
The games proceed. The Black athletes won quite a few medals. What was Hitler's reaction to Black athletes on the Olympic podium?
You know, the reaction was completely negative. He walked out of the stadium and he would not shake hands or congratulate these athletes at any point during their stay in Berlin, Germany. It was very clear his position before the games. He didn't want African Americans in the Olympic Games. During the games, he tried to pretend that all athletes were welcomed. But when they hit that world stage and when they were on that podium, he could not congratulate them.
And contrast for us the treatment that these athletes received at the Olympic Games versus how they were treated when they returned home with their medals.
Well, they were heroes. They were stars during the Olympics. They had medals around their necks. But when they returned to America, it was a segregated America. It was Jim Crow America. You couldn't fully exercise your right to vote. You couldn't buy a house in any neighborhood. America did not grant African Americans the full right of American citizenship. But these athletes represented their country with courage, humility, and valor in spite of that fact.
So how did that play out, that reception at home? What happened or what didn't happen?
It played out as it would for any African-American coming home from war at that time, coming home for the Olympics at that time. You are an American hero when the spotlight is on. When the spotlight goes off, you're a Negro in America.
We're accustomed, I think, to seeing recent Olympic teams, for example, being greeted at the White House by the president praising.
That wasn't an option for these athletes. These athletes were not greeted at the White House. They were not invited to the White House. They did not actually receive even a telegram from the White House. But we actually, thanks to our partnership with Procter & Gamble, we were able to correct that. And 80 years later, September 29th, 2016, we were able to recognize these 18 African-American families for the work they did in early seminal civil rights movement and breaking the color barrier and moving sports forward. And we're super proud, along with our partners at PNC Bank, to bring this film to Baltimore.
Your film does such a terrific job of introducing us to each of these athletes. Cornelius Johnson won a gold medal and set an Olympic record for the high jump. Jack Wilson won a silver medal for boxing. John Woodruff won gold in the 800-meter race. The 18 Black athletes won one-fourth of the medals of the whole U.S. team that year. Why is it that Jesse Owens emerged as the athlete we remember most?
Well, think about it for a second. If you are popular culture and you are the folks in power in 1936, you don't want to tell the story of 18 exceptional African Americans because you will then have to examine your policies. You'll then have to examine your institutionalized racism, because if these athletes are exceptional and they're not the only ones, why do we have laws and policies and institutional racism to keep them in place? It was a much more palatable story to tell the story of one Negro man defeating Hitler than talking about the fact that there are exceptional student athletes, you know, across this country that we're marginalizing.
Tell us about some of those other athletes As I said, your film tells us about all of them. I'm not sure we can do that,
well, certainly, and we're gonna encourage people to see the film too. But Archie Williams became a Tuskegee Airmen pilot. Ralph Metcalf became a congressman and wrote the resolution for Black History Month. This is an incredible group of people. Dr. James LaValle became the first Black chemist at Kodak. The LaValle Commons at UCLA is named for him. So this is a stellar class of student athletes.
Jackie Robinson's older brother was one of those athletes.
Mack Robinson was on this team. He won a silver medal. He's inducted into the Oregon Hall of Fame because of his athletic prowess. He's an incredible sprinter.
So 81 years on, how do you assess what impact these trailblazers had on subsequent Olympic Games?
When we think about the legacy of these athletes, we're able to see Gabby Douglas. We're able to see an incredible multicultural roster of athletes in Rio in 2016. That's the legacy. We're able to see multicultural athletes in a multicultural country on a multicultural world stage.
You say that's the legacy. How do you think we got from where we were in 1936 to where we are today?
Well, you know, these athletes opened the door for us, and every year there was more progress because of the trails that they blazed. Every door that opened, two more walked through, three more walked through, four more walked through. So then you have a team that's built upon people actually earning their spot. There is more transparency and fairness. You know, sports leads the way. The way we behave in sports is the way our society behaves.
Do you think there is a special message to America in 2017?
Well, absolutely. If you watch this film, what you will learn is that you win when you are inclusive and that when you give access to everyone. We can't have a country built on democracy if we don't democratize opportunity and access. We're a better country because of it. But even when you don't, the people that you marginalize, we will find a way to fight and demonstrate that we are so incredibly capable that we won't be denied.
It's a wonderful documentary, and I really appreciate
you
telling us about it. Thank you so much.
Oh, my God, it's such a pleasure. Thank you so much. I hope people come out to see it at the museum. It's a wonderful experience.
That's February 19th, Deborah Riley Draper's documentary, Olympic Pride, American Prejudice, will be shown a week from Sunday, February 19th, at the Reginald F. Lewis Museum in Baltimore. And the screening will be followed by a discussion with Draper and the curator of the National Holocaust Museum. We have more information at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. A quick break and then a look at the contributions of African Americans to the railroad industry. Stay with us.